On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Sergio Rojas of the San Francisco Giants organization. Sergio, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I know it's a very busy time for yourself during the middle of the season to be doing this for us, but I know many of us in baseball really appreciate this. We love listening to your podcast. I'm a Southern California native. Did my undergrad at University of Laverne, small D3 school in Southern California. Later on, did my master's at Azusa Pacific University, another small school. After undergrad, I went straight into personal training, not knowing what I really wanted to do yet. Did that for 2 years, and in the middle of that, ran into my college strength coach and pushed me towards the field of strength and conditioning. Within that time frame, I ended up getting a job at Whittier College. I was a head strength coach there for 4 years. And then from there, I did a football internship at Bruins during the summer of 2009. And then shortly after, baseball came coming my way, and was with the Angels organization starting in 2012. Did my first year in AZL. Did the next 4 years at their High A affiliate. We relocated my family to Arizona in 17. I asked them to put me in Arizona for AZL just to, you know, put my family, you know, in a peace of mind that I was going to be home every night. And the organization was totally supportive with that. Did that. This past offseason, re-signed my contract to be back with Angels. And come December, this position with the Giants came up, and here I am now.
So you're the first person I've had on here that has the role of Latin American coordinator. And so can you give our listeners kind of just an overview of your role and responsibilities, just for anybody that's not aware of how it works?
Yeah, well, my primary focus here is just to develop our Latin players here at our academy in the Dominican Republic. For those that don't know, July 2nd is International Signing Day for Major League Baseball, where anyone that is 16 years old is eligible to sign with a team. From that process, these players aren't necessarily allowed to play in the DSL league right off the bat they sign. A lot of them just join the academy and just practice and just train. Some of them join what's called the Tricky League. It's pretty much like a combination similar to what you would probably put together for the Fall League, where, you know, there's a few teams that put a couple of their prospects together and, you know, and then just get game reps underneath them for the rest of the summer up until instructional league starts. And from there, come October, November, there is a Dominican Instructional League, just like the States. It probably runs a little bit longer here, just with the amount of rain that they get here during the fall. And then after that, December, January, with the help of the big league staff, we kind of follow up on our 40-man players. And then come February, we do have a strength and conditioning camp in February prior to spring training to get those guys ready. And then come April, the DSL spring training starts, and it's spring training all over again, getting guys ready for the actual Dominican Summer League season. But within all that, there's also responsibility of communication with tons of player development staff, getting supplement orders into Miami, and then making sure from Miami that they get shipped to the Dominican Republic. And once our freight gets here, make sure that gets delivered here. And we hope that all is there when we receive the order.
So it sounds like you got a lot going on in your year.
Yes, it's a very, very busy year. A lot of different camps just throughout the year. But it's fun. It's fun being busy.
So you've mentioned that you were at an affiliate for quite a while. Can you tell the listeners kind of the difference between being at an affiliate specifically for a season and then being in the Latin American coordinator role?
But with an affiliate, you know, the responsibilities of making a gym bus time, being in contact with road gyms, what time you can go at, or being in contact with the home strength coach if they do have a gym at the baseball stadium, if we can take a pitcher to get a lift in after a bullpen, having the responsibility of making sure we have post-game meals provided. Some of these, you know, towns and cities you go to, it might not be the best options, but you've got to work with what you have. We're here, you know, everything's on schedule. It's pretty much like being at your spring training complex in the States, where, you know, you have your cafeteria, you have your weight room, everything's done first thing in the morning, their morning game. All the games are in the morning, so it kind of runs like similar to what spring training, extended spring training is, but without having to travel.
So you mentioned that your job there is to develop players. So what are kind of some overarching themes of development that you have there, either in terms of movement quality or just even like quality of life as people, maybe away from baseball?
A lot of it is just teaching guys as much as we can about strength conditioning, nutrition, develop character, how to be a good teammate, even little things, just how to keep a weight room organized, how to keep it clean, how to re-rack stuff, how to fill out a workout card. It's a lot of small details in regards to development, where we want these guys prepared once they make the transition to the States. We want to run it as similar as we can to what happens in the States. That way there isn't, you know, that culture shock from our side of things. It's already a huge culture shock as it is, just from living here in the DR, going to the States, going to a hotel, what the rules, what the laws are in the States compared to what they are here in Dominican. And for me, it's just, if I can teach these guys to be better prepared and ready to play and know what to expect when they get to the States, that's kind of the overall goal, but as well as, you know, develop them strength wise, get these guys bigger, get these guys stronger and faster.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Everybody that I talk to tends to say, you know, you got to go to the DR just to experience what they experience and why that transition to the States is so hard for some of them. Do you have any stories that kind of epitomize that statement that stick out in your mind? Maybe either your first trip there, like a culture shock, or even more recently going in. Is there anything that sticks out in your mind?
Nothing really sticks out in my mind. It's just the culture here. What I've noticed is music is everything to these guys. You put on any song, anytime, any place, anywhere, they're instantly singing, dancing. And the only frustration that I've had so far is just being on time, where I hate referencing this, but there is, you know, DR time, but I think that's being changed among baseball, where it's very normal and okay to show up 10, 15 minutes late. The first hotel I was staying at was transporting me to the buffet dinner at a different hotel every night when I first stayed here in February. And I had to go downstairs and, you know, can I have a 6 a.m. shuttle to take me to the restaurant? I will be here in 10 minutes. Perfect. Thank you. 6:10 would come, nothing. 6:20 would come, nothing. 6:30 would come. Finally, 6:45 or 7 p.m., I'm finally being picked up to be taken to the buffet. It's just little things like that are normal here, and you just have to ride with it. It's very, very frustrating when it's new to you. But it's just, there's no really true sense of urgency. It's just have a good time, have fun, enjoy each other's company, live, laugh, love. I mean, it's what it is down here.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the music. We have guys that'll put headphones in and just like dance by themselves and in the middle of a room just enjoying themselves and like you said, living life and loving life. So it's funny that you mentioned that. So along those lines, why this position? What is it about this that you love so much? Because I'm sure sometimes it feels like you're very far away from the big leagues, working with a bunch of young guys. So what is it that you enjoy so much about this position?
Well, first off, let me kind of just take a couple steps back. When this position did come up, I necessarily didn't want to leave where I was previously at just because I had a really good thing going on. Our training program we had going on with the previous organization was awesome. Had really good relationships with players, staff. We had a really good thing going on. But when this opportunity presented itself, it was more of me, you know, taking a chance on, you know, advancing in my career. It was a position, you know, coordinator positions often don't come. And when they do, they're very rare at times. And I felt it was the right time. It was the right organization to do it with after the interview process. They made me feel welcome. It's not easy. I am married. I do got two daughters as well too, but they're very, very supportive in me finding time to travel back and see my family as well too. But with this position, it was just, I wanted the challenge. I wanted to challenge Latin players, you know, to move weight, you know, get comfortable being underneath the bar. I feel throughout all of baseball, most Latin players either don't know how to get underneath the bar or have never been taught. For instance, just like a goblet squat, they go right into a goblet squat and never once want to try how to squat, front squat or back squat underneath the bar. And I want to challenge them and teach them that, hey, it's okay to lift heavy during season. It's okay, you know, to push weight, you know, trying to teach them the difference from being sore and hurt, because to them being sore translate into being hurt sometimes. And that's probably one of the toughest challenges I face is having them differentiate that.
That's a really good answer, man. And I think everybody that listens to this that's in baseball can resonate with what you just said. So kind of transitioning just a little but not too much, adjustments that you've had to make this year. You're in a new organization and a new role. You mentioned that your family's very supportive. What adjustments have you had to make personally?
Personally, I mean, to start off, the first few months was just getting to know people in the organization, knowing who was who, what role each of them had, learning players' names, just little things like that was probably the biggest challenges for me because I'm coming in new. A lot of people don't know me. I don't know them. And it's about just building those relationships and building that trust. That's probably, I mean, it's hard to build that instantly. Especially when you're coming in and, you know, what in a coordinator position, you know, where I feel and I hold myself to a high standard of expectations where I want to do the job right and I want to do the job well. But at the same time, I got to make sure I'm developing these relationships and I'm in constant communication with the people I need to stay in contact with.
I got you. Okay. So what do you think makes a strength and conditioning coach successful, either in your position, going along with what you just said, making those adjustments and building trust, or in general, what makes a strength coach successful?
For me, at the end of the day, it's about relationships. And I think we can all attest to it when we're, I put the example at being at affiliate, because I feel at affiliate, you go through a whole minor league season, you know, with your guys, you know, you're going to have some very special conversations, whether you're shagging, you know, in the weight room, on the gym, on, you know, on a gym, on a bus, going to a city, or just in the dugout. You know, you build a very special bond with these guys, and it's about relationships. And, you know, unfortunately in this business, for some guys, their opportunity is, you know, their window's only so small. And, you know, to reflect and, you know, go down the road like 2-3 years later, and these guys still send you like a text message, hey, what's up? What's going on? Or they know who your favorite football team is, and they send you a message just to talk trash. Little things like that, you know, goes a long ways on top of what we do for them and what the players, you know, bring to us into the weight room, into these conditioning sessions. And the same thing goes with, you know, having these same relationships with your coaching staff as well, too.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I was in the dugout with one of our guys the other day, and I said, man, what you just told me, I don't know if anybody's ever told me, and it's like we get to know each other so well at an affiliate. It's literally like, you know, family members. You're together every single day, all day for 7 months. Like you said, there are some very special conversations that go on that you're just like, man, you wouldn't think that these guys would open up to you like that, but they do just because they're around you so much.
Absolutely.
So I'm interested to hear your answer to this question, just because you've seen some things that maybe some other people haven't. But what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
There's a number of things, probably. I'll give you a couple. So one of them, when I first got into strength and conditioning, I was huge, huge on Olympic weightlifting. Still am. I view the deadlift as more of a progression into learning how to pull the bar from the floor for O lifts. I hate using it as a form of eccentric training and, you know, targeting the posterior chain. And the reason behind that is, you know, as the load increases, I feel that, you know, the degree of lumbar flexion on the way down changes drastically. Like, to me, it's never the same. And for me, if we want to focus on the hinge and eccentrically training, let's just do RDLs. It's controlled. You know where you have to go. It's more controllable. Whereas the deadlift, using it to target the posterior chain, I'm not a huge fan of it. I'd rather just focus on just learning how to pull the bar up in the deadlift position, or just using the deadlift in general. Another one is just, as I mentioned earlier, with working with the LAMP players and trying to get them to teach them to work underneath the bar. I hate the goblet squat. Absolutely hate it. But I also understand for some players and individuals, it's probably the only loading they're probably capable of doing based on any deficiencies they might have or any medical history they might have. But I feel for the most part, 90% of the population should be able to get underneath the bar, whether it's a front position or a back position. And as a strength and conditioning coach, I feel if you're not challenging these guys or if not taking the time to coach these guys to get underneath the bar, then I feel like we're doing them a disservice at the same time. I'm not saying everyone should get underneath the bar and squat 315. You know, some of them might have to squat just with 95 pounds on loaded, and that's okay. But we're progressing them, and we're teaching them it's okay, you know, to get underneath the bar. Because to me, at the end of the day, this sport is about force production, you know, rate of force development. And we got to get guys a lot stronger, especially within their lower half.
So it sounds like you're a big barbell guy then.
Yes.
I knew we would get along just fine. So what advice do you have for others in the field?
For me, it doesn't matter whether it's college or professionally, because for me, when I got into the field, I never thought I'd be working in pro ball. I was set on being a college strength coach. I wanted to do just college strength and conditioning. I always enjoyed more of the college atmosphere environment where you actually have an off season to work with your athletes. And you also have that 4-year window, you know, to develop guys where some players might have to redshirt, you know, some seniors might be more advanced where freshmen, sophomores might not get much playing time, you know, all those factors, you know, go into play. And I always wanted to be a college strength coach. And somehow the way pro ball found me just was very, very unexpected. Just a quick background. When I finished my fourth year at Whittier College, it was in 2011. And during that time, California was just economically not doing very, very well. And unfortunately, at that time, my position got cut. And a couple years before that, I finished my UCLA internship. I was in contact with other strength coaches who kept referring me to other coaches for other local jobs. I interviewed at a few universities for positions and was always a final candidate, but never got the job. And there came a time where I was 8 months unemployed. I just had my first daughter, and I was pretty much a stay-at-home dad at the time, and was building tons and tons of frustration. And one day, this Angels position came up on the NSC website, and I said, screw it. You know, never thought I'd be interested in pro ball, but I got to send my resume and see what happens. Sure enough, get on a phone interview. You know, the first thing they asked me if I speak Spanish, because they saw what my last name was. They saw my resume, they saw my background, and we instantly clicked. And sure enough, 7 years later, you know, pro ball has treated me pretty well. So as far as advice is, we can have a set plan that we have in mind of where we want to do or what we want to do, but the reality is it never goes the way you have it planned. You know, be ready, you know, to face some very, very hard adversity. Don't give up, especially if you're very, very passionate about it. And just be open to whatever it is that might come up. Because one thing I do regret is I wish straight out of undergrad, I would have done more internships, or I would have gotten maybe more like a grad assistant position out of college, whether it would have been in North Dakota, middle of Nebraska or Kansas, whatever it may have been, no matter what university, NIA, D3, D2, D1, you know, at the end of the day, it's pretty much like having a full-time job, and you just can't, you know, that experience to me is priceless. If a young strength coach has the opportunity to do that, take advantage of it. Because as you get older, it gets a lot harder. And then some of us, we never know when you might meet that someone, and it makes things a lot challenging. Luckily for me, my wife has been above and beyond completely supportive of what I do and the profession I'm in and how much time I'm gone. I know it's hard on them and my kids as well too at times, but I'm very, very fortunate to have them and have their love and support. And, you know, when you do find that significant other one, make sure they're on board with what you want to do, because it's hard to find.
Man, that's really good life advice and career advice. That's awesome. I appreciate all of that.
You're welcome.
So where are you going for continuing ed? I'm sure you got a lot of flights back and forth into the DR. Are you reading books on those flights? Are you listening to podcasts? Do you attend any seminars in your non-existent free time? Where do you go for continuing ed?
Continuing ed, I like to more just talk shop with other coaches, or when we get together for spring training, just kind of hear what other guys, who they're following, maybe talk about what conference they were interested in attending. Or, you know, for the most part, whenever I have my downtime, I like to focus a lot more on my family, make time for myself. So I don't really get into this whole lot. It just, for me, I just, either from following people on Twitter, seeing what they repost. Like last year, this past off season, we went to the Rob Gray hosted a skills acquisition meeting here in Arizona. And it was incredibly awesome, and it was free. And we got CEUs out of it too, which was even better because they were free. But just looking for local conferences, because you had guys from Altus there, a variety of baseball strength coaches were there, but as well as hitting coordinators, pitching coordinators. It was a skills acquisition meeting in regards to strength conditioning in baseball. So it was awesome to see. I saw one that's coming up in a few weeks. The LA Galaxy Sports Science team is holding something in LA. Anything like that where it's a wide variety of up, you know, I'm all in for. But as far as CEUs, you know, I'll listen to this podcast, McCree Freeze, which I think he's hanging it up, I think, from the last tweet I saw, which is unfortunate, but hey, he's done a lot to help us out and give back to the strength and conditioning field. But for the most part, just recommendations from other strength coaches, just from talking to them in person. I'd rather more just talk one-on-one, talk shop that way, and just read. If I read books, it's just, I prefer to read just, that's something that's not strength and conditioning. No, it sounds bad, but
no, man.
Sometimes you need to get away.
Yeah, I try to mix it up, man. Read a little bit of strength and conditioning and read for fun. And like you said, you can read it, but it's just so much better to get it right from the source. So that when you have questions, you can get those questions answered instead of just sitting on them all the time when you're reading. So that's really good. So I know you're planning on going to the beach today. It's early. But if you have time, I'd like to do a lightning round. What do you think?
Sure.
All right. So I got a series.
Just don't bring the lightning to the beach today.
Series of questions for you. We'll keep the lightning here and then we'll let you go to the beach. First question, your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
It would have to be Matt Durant, who was a strength and conditioning coach at the University of Laverne, where I did my undergrad at. I got to see what he did in person. And at that time, you know, it was a D3 school. There wasn't many college strength coaches at the time, and I got to see what he did. And it motivated me. Influence me. And then on top of it, when I got into personal training off the bat, to run into him during that time and for him to encourage me to go after strength and conditioning was probably the best advice I can take at that time from when I started personal training. Two others, who was a longtime college strength and conditioning coach at UC Riverside and at UCLA. He was one of the original CrossFitters, was one of the top guys in the games when CrossFit first came out. Then he did some time with the Navy SEALs. And I think now he's just one of the main guys that teaches O-lifts all around the country for these, you know, these CrossFit courses.
Cool, man. Yeah, D3 is a really underappreciated place to learn strength and conditioning.
Yes, it is.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would you choose? I think I know the answer already.
Absolutely. It's a barbell.
Yeah, I figured.
With bumper plates. That's bumper plates.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
For me, it would have to be probably being the first in my family to graduate from college. My parents are from Mexico, so for them to come to States, and then me being able to be lucky enough to be born in the States, and first one to be pushed, even though I hated being pushed at times at a very early age from my parents, but they pushed me for the good and for a better life for myself. So for me, graduating college and being the first in my family to do so, because I know how much that meant to my family, and just to see, how proud my parents were of me just for that accomplishment. It was priceless. That's priceless. As well for me, it would be having family, starting a family of my own, and being lucky enough to raise two amazing young daughters right now.
It's crazy how
It's crazy
right
how
parents
right
are
parents
always are. They're always right, even when
Yes.
you don't want them to be. Any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Strength conditioning. I don't know. Probably, maybe an athletic director at high school, maybe college, maybe some kind of athletic administration position.
I can be on board
That
with
you could
that.
probably see myself doing.
Last one for me. This is kind of a guest question. Two-step dancing. Tell me about that. I heard you're a
Oh
good two-step
man.
dancer.
Oh. Was not expecting that one. I think I know who probably told you that, but it's funny because my freshman year in college, I got invited from some friends to go to a country bar, and at the time, absolutely hated country music. But my friend took me to this bar, saw the girls that were there, and I was like, all right, I gotta learn how to line dance. I gotta learn how to two-step. And then sure enough, picked it up, learned it, and the rest of my 3 years in college, that was like my go-to scenery is just country bars, country bars, country bars. And it's how I met my wife too. So I am a pretty good two-stepper, I will say. So if you guys are ever out in Arizona and would like to go line dancing or two-stepping or wherever it may, wherever country bar there is around the country, and we happen to run into each other, hey, I'm all in for it.
We have one up in Portland, so if you're ever up in Portland, Maine,
Oh,
for any reason whatsoever during the season, we'll go to the country bar together and you could teach me how to two-step.
good.
But hey, man, it's been fun. A lot of good laughs, a lot of good information. If the listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more from you, where can we go? You mentioned social media. Are you big on social media?
I don't post a whole lot. I just use it just as references. Look for links, look for studies to read on it. If you want to be in contact with me, at Coach Surge, CoachSurge, feel free to get a hold of me there with any questions. I'm not on Instagram. Facebook is just more personal, family, friend stuff. But as far as strength and conditioning goes or anything else in relations to that, just Twitter.
Sounds good, my man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Sergio. I hope you enjoyed this one. He shared a lot of good information about training and about his current position. Three things that I took from Sergio: find great support, be open to anything, and know that things will not always go the way that you plan. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.